Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So as I pray this morning, the Lord knows your request, right? I mean, we don't have to voice those to Him, even though I say all the time, and it's true that He wants to have this relationship with us where we talk to Him and He talks to us. But this morning, I'm just going to say that He knows our request, and I just want to give Him glory and honor this morning. I don't know what that is in me right now, but I just feel led to do that. And so I just want you to stay seated, and we're just going to maybe two or three times through that chorus again, and you just proclaim to the Lord and just lay it all before Him that it is all His, your life, your stuff, your family, your problems, your blessings, your money, your debt, just everything, your health, your healing, and it may be really weird for some of you. It might even be a little uncomfortable for me just to ask you to do it, but really just to bow before Him, maybe even physically, but at least in your heart and your mind, and just say, Lord, we just give it to You all. And it's because You are due the honor of the glory. Lord, teach us, show us, help us, Lord, to understand the hierarchy of the universe. Not in a domineering way, Father, but in a loving way. Lord, that You are the King of Kings, and that we are Your adopted daughters and sons. We are Your friends, Lord, and that You give us all good things, Lord, and that we are stewards of this life that You give us. I say this almost every week just because I really do hope that you'll take the notes from the sermon and look at those during the week, but you're just going to see 3 points up on the screen today, and all the good stuff is online, and so you really do need the notes if you want to take home kind of what I hope that you get out of today, what I hope the Lord has in store for you today about this idea of being a steward of your lives and all that goes on in your life and all the stuff that you have in your life. So you can either scan that QR code. I'll leave that up there for just a few minutes and let you do that. While you're doing that, I don't know if you know this, but I was taking some Will's out of town. I guess, is Will on a mission trip? Is that where he is? Is that this week? He and Courtney? I know y'all don't always know this, but part of what we do as a church is your money. Our money goes to help people in ministry and help people learn how to do ministry and how to go and do ministry. And so Will and Courtney, you know, singer Courtney right here, youth student pastor Courtney, they're down in Mexico right now, right on the border. They're helping build some houses for some people just right across the river and just being a part of a great trip with the Wesley Foundation. And so you helped do that. Here's what's always so, it's entertaining to me because I like to see the expressions on their face, and I wish you could see that. You will later. They'll come back and kind of show you what they got involved with. But they, when they come and they ask so sheepishly, like I'm going to beat them with a stick if they ask for help going somewhere, because that's what I do to church members, is when they came and I said, you know, they said, hey, can we get some support because we want to go on this trip? And I'm like, well, how much are you asking for? And I think it was, help me, somebody. Do you remember? How much? $200, okay. $200 to send one of them down south to go do ministry. And now, not that $200 is not a lot of money, okay, but in the grand scheme of all that we do, $200 is fantastic. That's great. And so when they came and asked, they said, well, I don't know, we need to raise $200, and if y'all could just give us 20, that would be great. So Will, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit because I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty close. I bet Will, was Will a freshman when y'all started here? Freshman in high school, and now he's a sophomore in college. I bet he's not missed 20 days in the whole time that they've been here. He's been right there. He has been so faithful. He's been so, Will is a worshiper. He loves worship. He loves being here, but he's just here, okay? And his attitude is sometimes better than his dad's. Did I say that out loud? I don't know. I mean, that was here. And just here, Courtney just gives it every time. She brings every bit of it when she comes, and she loves being here. She even stayed at the chagrin of her parents. we helped her stay over a holiday one time, Easter, so she could be here to worship with all of us. And so when they asked for $20, I said, how about if we just pay for y'all to go? And they went, you would do that? You're going to pay for the whole thing? We're going to pay for the whole thing because you have a church that loves you. You have a church that cares for you. And so this idea of stewardship is to take what we have and to grow the kingdom. To take what we have as the body of Christ and as individuals to grow the kingdom. Whatever that $200 might have done this week in the life of the church is nothing compared to the $200 that I believe it's doing right now in Mexico for those two. And so I'm so thankful for them, thankful for you that we have that money to give. Because really, when you think about it, God does own it all. And so my question for you today is, are you a steward or are you an owner? Okay, now, steward, we always say stewardship and all those things, but steward really is a word, and there really is a definition for steward, that this really is a person, most usually in a household of servants or in a restaurant, in different kinds of service industries, but they're the ones that manage and take care of other people's stuff, okay? They're the ones that make sure it's used properly. They're the ones that make sure that it's that it's appreciated and that it's taken care of. And so for us, when we think about that, I want you to hear out of Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and this is what Jesus says about us and about the kingdom and about the world and being stewards, okay? For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves or servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their own ability. And he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents immediately went and did business with them and earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 talents earned 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves or servants came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 came up and brought 5 more, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See how I've earned you 5 more. Well done, good and faithful slave or servant. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." And the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have earned 2 more talents. And his master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave or servant. And you were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." Now the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, "Master, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And so I was afraid, and so I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you still have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You worthless, lazy slave." Anybody ever been called worthless and lazy? "Did you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and upon my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone has more shall be given, and he who has an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away from him. And throw the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Isn't that a great encouraging scripture to start church with today? Because you want to be number 1 or you want to be number 2, you're scared if you're number 3. You want to be number 1 and number 2 if you're in a great economy, and if you're number 3, like right now, you just want to go bury that dude and just don't worry about it until all this nonsense is over in the economy. And as we think of that, though, think about God's economy, because that's where we need to land today. Stop thinking about money and think about resources. Think about what you have. Think about who you are. Think about your family. Think about your business. Think about your abilities, okay? Because here's what I want to tell you is this talent is not about abilities. This talent is not about gifts that you have, okay? I mean, I know, I know y'all don't know I have this talent, but I do. I just don't show it off very often because they're so talented up here. But I mean, I really can do these same things that everybody else can do. Let me see if I can get this turned on right here. Okay, all right, let's see. How about this right here? Is that enough? Not enough? Hit it, Levi. He's in the back, dude. Isn't that great? There we go. It's not about talents. It's not about that type of talent. See, this talent, if you look up all the scripture, you look up all the definitions, you figure out what it is and how it goes, it really is this, a talent, okay? A talent. 1 talent is the worth of about 20 years of wages. That's a lot of wages, isn't it? Don't you wish somebody just walk up to you and hand you 20 years of your wages right now? And so you could do with that what you wanted. I mean, the first thing I would say is please pay off your house. Amen. If you own your house, oh my gosh, you're free and clear forever. I mean, you can make money on top of money if you own your house, right? But this 20 years of wages is not about what they have with them. It's about what is entrusted to them. Okay, this 20 years of wages, because what we have to understand is that what we think we have is really not our own because God owns it all. And so these gifts that God gives us is a lifetime of gifts. Not just 20 years worth, but it's a lifetime's worth. No matter what you have right now, it really is more than, just think about how you have accumulated. Even if you're young, you can't walk in right now and accumulate everything that you already have in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. It has taken you a lifetime. And yet God just says, here's what I want to give you. How can you use it for the kingdom? Because if God owns it all, right, then how can we actually own anything? How many of you have a diamond on your body right now, or at home on a ring, or in a necklace, or a watch, or a bracelet? How many of you have a diamond? Okay, I know you went to the store and you bought that diamond, or someone did, or you inherited it or whatever, but where did the diamond come from? It came from God's coal, right? And so God created the diamond. God owns the diamond. How many of you have a pearl, right? If you have something that's a pearl, that just came from one of God's irritated oysters, right? I mean, that's just the way that works. We didn't create. I know we can have man-made, chemically cultured pearls, but where do the chemicals from? They all come from God, right? And you can just keep on going down the list. How about a piece of gold jewelry? Okay, well, the gold comes from the earth, and it comes from the chemicals, and it comes from the tectonic plates moving and making, I mean, just pressure and all this stuff, and then it solidifies, and it comes from molten lava, and I mean, can you see? We didn't make that. We may have found it, but we didn't make it. I can just keep going on. How about your house? You know, the house comes from the forest, right, ultimately, unless you have all, you might like, this building doesn't have wooden studs. It has metal studs, and so where'd the metal come from? The earth. It just keeps going and it keeps going. What else did I put on here? How about your clothes? Came from plants and animals. How about your money? That came from trees. How about that piece of metal you drove here this morning? Right? Okay. How about your TV, your phone, your computer, whoever's watching online, the things that you're watching on, the technology? I mean, it really is all God's. Now, we may think we own it because you think you bought it and you did buy it. And you think you earned it. Did you really earn that iPhone? Did you really earn whatever better car you're driving than anybody else? Did you really earn? I mean, think about it. I say it all the time, and I'm so sincere. It's not a cop-out statement. Pretty much everybody works hard. Pretty much everybody works generally the same amount of time. We all get the same holidays, all the stuff, we are pretty much generally the same, and so why do some have different or more than others, right? It comes back to this passage of Scripture. God entrusts those with more who have more abilities to be able to do more with what God has given them. He gave 5 talents to one with a lot of abilities. He gave the 2 talents to one with maybe lesser abilities, but still good abilities. And even the one that he gave it to, he had an ability, but yet he was worried about it. He was scared. He didn't know what to do with it. Even 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains." Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who live in it." You don't even own yourself. You have no right to yourself because God created you. And we are, as followers of Jesus, even more so understanding that we belong to God. That I really am not in charge of me. I need to let God be in charge of me. He even says that this body is his temple. It's where he resides. It's not mine. It's his. And am I a good steward of it? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. It says, we don't even own our own bodies. See, Scripture even says, we do not even own our own bodies. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. 1 Corinthians 3:23 says, you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. See, we don't have an ownership problem. We have a stewardship problem. We don't have a problem with having enough. What we have a problem with is being good stewards of what we have. Not just your money. I'm going to keep saying it over and over because it's so easy to get caught in that trap to think just money. Because even if you don't have a lot of money, even if you're just barely making it week to week, and maybe not even making it. Maybe you are trying to borrow from next week to get through this week. But you have a life. You have stuff. You have family. You have friends. You have a brain. You have a heart and you have a soul. What are you doing with it? And now let me say this, and I so mean this. Why does God give us all this stuff? It is to grow his kingdom, but it's also for you to enjoy life. He doesn't just put us into a rolling motion and for us just to go through the motions day in and day out and not enjoy all of his creation, right? He could have made mountains in a whole different way and them not be pretty, right? He could have made the oceans, lime green or puke green, right? Pea green. Anybody with me? I mean, why did he make them so pretty? Why did he do, all these different things, they are for our enjoyment. Not just to be stewards of them, but to enjoy them. I mean, I don't know why in the world he gave somebody a brain to make a mountain bike, but praise God, I know there are angels in heaven because he did. And that's just for me. I don't know what it is for you, but there are things out there that is for just your enjoyment. How about your spouse? How about your children? Gosh, how about your in-laws? Oh, that wasn't me. Not me. Right? No, I mean all of us for our enjoyment. But in the middle of that, being good stewards, enjoying life, enjoying what we have, what we are supposed to be doing is growing the kingdom. To bring other people into the saving relationship with Jesus Christ so they can be good stewards. So they can enjoy life that God gives them. And so they too can begin growing the kingdom around them. That is the whole thing about this idea of stewardship. Everything. All of us, okay? So here's what I think happens, though, is I think that God looks at us like we look at, if you have teenagers or if you have children that maybe are just really starting to get a concept of money and stuff and things and stewardship and ownership, I think God looks at us like we look at our teenagers, right? So my teenager, up until just recently, and still it's just our running joke at the house, but might say something like, I remember her coming home and just start asking about stuff. I don't know what they talked about at school. I don't know if it was in math or I don't know where it came from. But it was like, so what do we own? This is my daughter asking me what we own. And so for me, this is just a lesson, not even being mean. This is just, it's funny now, but it was serious then, is just to say, well, I own, your mom and I own a lot of stuff. You don't own squat. Right? And then as time went on, and it was like, it was when we were talking about buying something or purchasing something or whatever, going to do something or going out to eat. It was like, okay, I would say, okay, you pay. If you want to go do this, you're going to pay. She's like, well, all of our money comes from the same place. So, I'm like, no, it does not all come from the same place, right? Well, let's just use your card because our money all comes from the same place. See, this is an understanding of stewardship and ownership. This is an understanding of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Because I just want you to see, I wonder if God looks at us and he looks at us as the same teenager problem and looks at us and go, you don't own squat. I own it all. I want to give this to you. I want you to be, and Macy was, by the way, and is, and I'm so sincere about this. I mean, Macy can make something last until the cows come home because she takes care of things. She's a good steward of things, even though she doesn't pay for those things. So glad she's home this weekend. I said, this is perfect. I can't believe you're home on this Sunday, right? And so I can talk to her in front of her back. And I wonder if he just looks at us and go, oh my gosh, you don't own anything. What are you doing? And so, listen to me. Adam and Eve. See, this started even in the garden. Because God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he just said, I just want you to take care of it. I give it to you. You can name all the stuff. You can do whatever you want to here. You can do it how you want to. I just need you to make it what? Thrive. I need you to make it grow. Not just live, but to reproduce. I need the thousand cattle on a hill. I need all the things. I need the trees. I need the fruit. I need all the stuff. But here's what he did to make sure that they always knew that they weren't the owners, is he put a few trees in the garden that he said, don't mess with those. Right? Don't mess with those. Because those are really, you have to understand, those are, all, I'm giving you stewardship over all of this, but don't get close to those. And see, in your life, what I think we do is we think that we have ownership, and so we want to take over everything. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. See, they thought that they were not just there to take care of things. They wanted to take control of things. And when they did that, God had to say, Satan tricked them to say, look, if you'll just do this, you can be an owner. See, we'll never be owners. We'll always be stewards. And when we learn that, I know that in the translation I use, the New American Standard, it is the most literal translation. It talks about slaves instead of servants. I kept saying that differently for you, because as soon as we hear the word slave, we have such terrible negative connotations of the way we held slavery in the United States and around the world in the last 100 years or 200 or 300 or 400. See, for slaves in Jesus' day, it wasn't always a bad thing. It really was servants. They were slaves, but they were treated like family. They were treated as a part of the household. And so what I need you to know is that we are stewards. We are who God has placed us in the garden to take care of his stuff. And it might be your really nice house, or it might be your car, or it might be your family, or it might be your job, or it might be your how you volunteer. I don't know what it is or where it is, but we are just stewards. We're not owners. And when we'll learn that, even with your children, I mean, I so wish that I could control Macy, right? And because she would do all the exact right things, because she would be perfect just like me. Amen. Everybody say amen and we'll be fine, right? But no, I have to teach her, and then I have to show her, and then I got to cut her loose. I got to give her the talents, and then she has to go, right? And what she does with those is going to be totally up to her. And the Lord will come back. And the Lord will say to all of us, how'd you do? Because what I want to know from you today is, how's your rate of return? It's a hard question. This is not going to be your fluffy feel-good sermon today. This is going to be for you to think about in the coming days and weeks and months. It's going to be, I hope that it's on your heart and in your head as you think and as you do things. Because we can remember, if it's 20 years worth of wages, right? And if one got five and one got two and another one got only one, here's what I want you to know, is you can move from one to the other. You don't always have to be at one. You don't always have to be at two. You don't always have to be at five. You can move up a level, and you can also go down a level. I mean, I'm not prophesying this, but I do believe that if you're not a good steward of your stuff, I do believe that it can go away, right? Here's where I learned this, and I always go back to this in my head, and I know it's so silly for y'all to hear, but it made a huge impact on me as a kid. I remember the first time that I went to the dentist, and there was a little sign there as I went in, and I got checked out of school. Y'all remember those days, how fantastic that was? You love going to a doctor's appointment or to the dentist because you got to miss school. I got there. This is great. There's a little sign in front of me as I'm brushing my teeth. It says, if you don't like going to the dentist, just ignore your teeth because they will go away. I went, okay. I have taken that and I've applied it to everything in my life. What do I need to take care of? What do I need to be a good steward of? What is your stewardship role? Listen to this. Luke 12:16, and it goes on down through, 21. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones. I'll store my grain and my goods up there. And I will say to myself, right, selfish, you have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, enjoy yourself. In other words, ignore everything else. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. And as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? Such is the one who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich in relationship to God. Let me tell you, just listen to that. God did not reprimand him for working hard. God did not reprimand him for being an entrepreneur. He didn't reprimand him for wanting bigger and better. He didn't reprimand him for saying, you do need bigger storehouses because I'm going to bless you with more. He didn't reprimand him for any of that. He didn't reprimand him for accumulating stuff. What did he reprimand him for? Not trusting God and thinking that he owned it all. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. And so, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with saving. Hallelujah. That's how we sent two young adults, on a mission trip because we have money saved. See, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we do with that matters. How many of you hope you get an inheritance from somebody? Well, gosh, everybody raise your hand. It's free money, right? Do you know 1/3 of people who receive an inheritance are 5 times more likely to go bankrupt in 2 years? Because they don't know how to be good stewards. Those that win multi-million dollar lotteries within 1 year, 25% of those people have 0 money left in the bank. Because they don't know how to be good stewards of it. See, God's telling us to be a good steward. So here's where I want to land. I want to talk to you about your spiritual inheritance. I want to talk to you about your spiritual storehouses. How many of you have a 401k? Just raise your hand. Well, right now it's about a 2.34K, but that's a different story. Right, we have 401Ks, okay? How many of you have an IRA, individual retirement account? Right, how many of you have an ERA, eternal retirement account? See, the ERA is what matters. Those aren't earned runs, right? Those aren't errors. Those aren't any of that. It's about your eternal retirement account. And so here's what I want to ask you. How much of your eternal retirement account is mortgaged right now because you're so in the world worried about your ownership? Because it can look like this. If you know what mortgaged is and you know what equity is, if you have a house payment, if you own your house, or if the bank owns your house, which is more likely to be said, then what you pay is really they own most of your house. For most of the lifetime of your house, I'm so glad Joel's not here because he just bought a house and this would crush his soul. Absolutely crush. You know what I told Joel? He said, I'm going to sign my paperwork today. I'm going to close on the house. I said, close your eyes when you get to the last page so you don't see how much that house is really costing. He goes, it's only costing me this much. I went, oh, you silly boy. Oh, goodness. How many of you look like this, though? I'm going to end with this. The worship team can come back up. How many of you, if the blue is your mortgage, the whole column is your spiritual life, how many of you have more of your spiritual life mortgaged because you're so worried about your ownership in the world? You're so tied down in the world. You're so anxious. Your prayer life is not where it should be. You're not in the Word. You're not where God has called you to be to the fullest extent. And so the world has you mortgaged, and you only have that much spiritual equity to give God. I think that just preached. This was me this week just thinking about stuff, and I tell y'all all the time, I love the markets, and I love the economy, I love finances, and that's just my thing. And so when I thought about it this way, and I heard Joel say that about, well, it's really only costing me this much. No, it really does cost you a lot when you don't realize who the Lord is in your life and whether you're an owner or a steward. Because we can mortgage ourselves to the point where we don't even, we can't even give the Lord anything because we're so scared. Because really, the only difference is we can say mortgaged, and then instead of equity, I can just say available. How about that? How much of your life is really available to the Lord for Him to use to grow His kingdom? That's stewardship. And that's really all I care about. I know we're going to talk about money next week. I shouldn't have said that out loud because somebody's not going to come. But we are. And that's part of it. It's a big part of it. But when I talk about stewardship, how much of your life, look, how much is your life is available to God? Because until you move from your left side of the screen to your right side of the screen, then you're never going to grow. Your faith is never going to grow. Your family's never going to grow. Your relationships are never going to grow. Right? You're just going to keep paying that interest, and you're never going to get anywhere. This speaks volumes to me. I don't know about you, but this is a big deal to me. So my prayer for us today is that we would know who owns it all, and that we would begin to create availability and equity in our spiritual life and not be bogged down with the other stuff. We have to take care of the other stuff, but let's start being more available to what God calls us to do, to be stewards for Him. Lord God, just that title I just gave you, that proclamation that I just made for my life and all of our lives is that You're not just God of the universe. You are Lord. And that means You are over it all. That means we live in Your kingdom and we should be relying on You to care for us as we take care of Your kingdom. That's our job. That's our role. That's our place in management. So I pray that You would just really, if we are brave enough to ask, You will not force it on us, but if we are brave enough to ask, You will show us the rate of our return. What are we getting out of what are we investing? How much availability do we have to give You to actually to do something with? Because, Lord, You are giving to us. Every one of those servants in Your story got something. All of us have it. Lord, show us how to be good stewards of it. To grow Your kingdom. To grow our relationship with You. To grow our families. And to grow our family of faith. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.